Heavenly Father, as we read your word this morning, as the word is preached, Father, I pray that you speak with the words that you have for each of us, Lord. Soften our hearts, awaken them to you. Holy Spirit, we invite you to move in our lives so that we can better point others to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. From the book of Romans chapter 3, starting at verse 21, Paul writes, "But now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ. To all who believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God and are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in his blood. He did this to demonstrate his justice because in his forbearance he had left sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time so as to be both just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from the law. It is God, is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through that same faith. Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law." So last week and the weeks preceding, we've been in this paragraph of 21 through 26, the paragraph on God's righteousness and justification. In the last 2 weeks, we covered quite a bit of topics, so let me just give you a quick, brief review. Because God is a righteous or just God, in the cross, we saw the demonstration of his righteousness or justice, and our faith in the person and work of Jesus at the cross means that we escape that hold that sin has on our life. And we escape the wrath of God due those with who sin. And by our faith, God imputes his righteousness to us. And it is by that imputation that he declares us righteous in his sight, thus beginning the Christian walk. Now, this morning, with all that in your heads, the question before us this morning is why? It's just a real simple question this morning. Why? We've been given this problem that we all share, and we learned that the solution is that God declares us righteous by faith in Jesus. And we looked at the origin of that justification, and we looked at the method and the means. Now this morning, we're going to look at why. Why did God prescribe this justification? Why did he say that it would be by him? And that answer is contained in Romans 3:26. So Romans 3:26, I'm going to kind of take apart this morning, and we're going to look at that. Romans 3:26 says that, if I could find it here, 3:26, he did it to demonstrate his justice or his righteousness at the present time so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. He did it. He is God the Father. He did it. What's the it? Did it, that is, sacrificed his son Jesus at the cross. For what reason? To demonstrate. That is, to show or make known publicly. God the Father sacrificed his son Jesus at the cross in order to make this known publicly. To whom is God the Father going to demonstrate his righteousness? For whom? We have to go back to Romans 1:18 and 3:23, and it says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So therefore, this, since the wrath of God is revealed against all of mankind, now in Romans 3:26, it's the gospel that's revealed. So going on, here we say that God demonstrates to all mankind his righteousness. that is His goodness, His justice, His truth. It's demonstrated to all mankind, even though His wrath is revealed. While His wrath is revealed, as a matter of fact, right alongside of that wrath, on one side is the wrath of God, and simultaneously, at the cross, He's demonstrating His righteousness, His goodness, His justice, His honesty. And this happens now, at this present time. There's this new era of salvation that has been rolled in from the Old Testament. In this New Testament time we're living in, we're no longer under that old covenant. And it really ends there, and it stands alone in this new era. God the Father sacrificed His Son Jesus at the cross to demonstrate to all of humanity His righteousness, His goodness, His justice. And the cross is what points to that. And then, so as to, that phrase, so as to, it's in order that for the purposes of God the Father to be both just and the one who justifies. See, God is both. He's the one who delivers us from the wrath, and He's the one who delivers us from the grace. We talked about that a few weeks ago. God is the God we fear, the one who has this wrath against sin, the one who executes true and honest judgment, and we should have righteous fear towards Him. But now He's the same God who freely delivers grace and justifies the sinner. He's that same God who has the wrath, also is the same God who freely gives us grace to justify the sinner. He's the same God that we want to turn away from because of that righteous anger. That righteous anger that swallowed up, remember, Pharaoh's army with the Red Sea. That same God that opened up the earth to swallow the Israelites. It's that same God that killed Uzziah when He reached out His hand to steady the ark. And David was so afraid, he couldn't even bring the ark back. He is the just God. But He is the one who also justifies. And He is the God who justifies. He's the same God that with that wrath is the same God that took on flesh and took that wrath. That same just and deserved wrath for us, He took upon Himself so that He could justify everyone. No, just those who have faith in Jesus. To all, God the Father is just. But to some, those who have faith in Jesus, He is also the justifier. God the Father is the one who justifies us. We don't justify ourselves. Yet this is what we want to do. Constantly in our everyday life. It's how we answer back to stuff. It goes way back to the garden when Adam and Eve first sinned. They knew the wrath of God would come on them by eating from the tree they weren't supposed to eat from. And when God came to confront them with His wrath, when they were in the court of God and laid out the charges against them, what did they do? They attempted to justify themselves. Adam said, "Oh, well, wait a minute, it was the woman you put there with me. She gave it to me." And Eve said, it was the serpent that you put there with me. I can't help it. I was born into this situation. It's an attempt to justify ourselves in the court of God. But this is saying God is the one who justifies, not us. Because if it were up to us, then when we reached heaven, we would just stand around with each other, shaking hands, saying, "Congratulations. Welcome, I'm glad you made it. Here, you would get a little ribbon, and you get to pin that on." And God would be standing there in the background, kind of like at a graduation ceremony, shaking your hand, saying, "You did it. Congratulations, you justified yourself." It's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. It's Jesus who went to the cross. We didn't go to the cross. Jesus went to the cross. It's God who is both just and the one who justifies. It is God who does it. It's God's the one who brings us into His kingdom. That way, God gets the glory and not us. God is very particular about who gets the glory, right? This idea is over and over again in the Old Testament. I want to show you something from the prophet Isaiah in chapter 42 that really comes out. It's like, wow, this is Romans 3:26, right? In Isaiah chapter 42. Starting at chapter and at verse 5 in Isaiah 42, listen to what this says. It says, "This is what God the Lord says, the creator of the heavens, who stretches them out, who spreads out the earth with all that springs from it, who gives breath to its people and life to those that walk on it." Okay, Isaiah starts out, this is what God says. Not any God, the creator of the universe, the heavens, the big majestic God who gave birth to the earth and all his people. Then he goes on in verse 6. It says, I, the Lord, have called you into righteousness. I'm the Lord who called you into righteousness. I will take a hold of your hand, and I will keep you, and I will make you be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles. Right there is Romans 3:26. I, the Lord, calls you into righteousness. God is the one who will take hold of your hand. And Isaiah 42:7, right? To open the eyes that are blind, to free the captives from prison, and to release the dungeon, those who sit in the darkness. It's God who opens the eyes of the blind and frees the captives and releases the prisoners. They don't walk their way out. I am the Lord, he says in verse 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not yield my glory to another or praise to idols. I am the Lord, God says. I will not yield my glory to another. See, God does things for his glory. He does things so that we know that he is God. It's an important idea in all of Scripture. It's why did God rescue the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt? Because they were somehow a better people than someone else? No, they weren't. He did it to show how good he is. He did it to show others that he alone is God. No one else. Watch this. Exodus 6:7. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Then you will know that I am the Lord your God. Exodus 7:5. And the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. Exodus 7:17. And by this you will know that I am the Lord. Exodus 8:22. That you may know that I am the Lord. I'll leave out the other five references in Exodus where God says, so that you may know that I am the Lord. But it's also Deuteronomy 29:16. It's also 1 Kings 20:13. Behold, I will give it into your hand, and you shall know that I am the Lord. It's also Isaiah 49:26. I will make your oppressors eat their own flesh. They will be drunk on their own blood as with wine. Then all mankind will know that I, the Lord, your Savior, your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Egypt, of Jacob. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know me that I am the Lord. They will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with all their heart. It goes on and on. So just a few verses. God saves us so that we will know who he is and that so that he will get the glory. If we were the ones who justified ourselves, then we would have no need for the cross. If we were the ones who justified ourselves, then we could get the glory and we could boast. But that's why Paul says in Romans 3:27, right? Where then is the boasting? It's excluded. It's excluded because of what law? The law that requires works? No. Because of the law that requires faith. It's not by law, but by faith. And that's why there's no boasting. We didn't do anything. There's nothing for us to boast on. God did it. To show that he's the one who justifies. Our faith is not the reason for boasting. And then in 3:28 and 30, he says, for we maintain that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too, since there is only one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through the same faith. He is God, not of just particular group of people, But through this public demonstration of his righteousness in the cross, he has made himself known to all, to everyone. And everyone has that opportunity by faith to be fully justified by the God who is both just and the one who justifies. Then Paul ends that section in Romans 3 with 4 at 3:31. He says, "Do we then nullify the law by this faith? Not at all. Rather, we uphold the law. Since it's not by the works of the law that we're justified, and since faith is not a work, but faith that saves us is a faith that works. Our faith in Jesus is a faith that affects us. It affects us the way we live. Once we have that faith and we see God as both the just and the justifier, then our faith causes us to love Jesus. And that makes us want to serve him. And we're no longer caught up in ourselves in this world because we have nothing else to boast about because we no longer love this world." And that last verse, it just really concludes this section of God's justification. And Paul will then bring on this focus on faith and what that really looks like in chapter 4. But the important things to consider about this section is because Christians and non-Christians alike often struggle with this fact of faith and works. And Paul presented here that God is both just and the one who justifies. And this idea is very God-focused. But today, Christians and non-Christians alike are misplacing that emphasis on God, and they're placing it on the person, and they're placing it on their behavior. And this text says that our works don't justify us. Our faith does. It's important to understand this because our misunderstandings can result in a misunderstanding of the gospel, or different yet, a misunderstanding of your need for the gospel. The world misses that. As a result, they don't see their need. In the gospel, the glory of God is revealed. Missing that causes you to miss the glory of God. So the two things we need to understand is that God is just. He judges justly. He judges with truth and honesty. And he judges everyone justly based on their sin in relation to his perfect holiness. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And while that's true, that some sins are certainly more serious than others, and certainly some people sin more frequently than others, all sinners are all guilty. We all face the true and honest judge. There's no privilege when it brings you to the cross. There's no one person above the other. We all bring only our sin to the cross. That's why Billy Graham once said, "The ground is level at the foot of the cross. No one's better than another. No one brings anything to the cross except their sins and their guilt." We're all fellow prisoners in need of a Savior. To think any different is to think too highly of yourself or to think too lowly of others. God is just. He doesn't wink at sin. There's judgment for sinners, and the only way we can escape the wrath of God is through the cross. The enemy tries to diminish that idea. It's the oldest technique. He tries to get us to believe that God doesn't punish sinners. And today, people will say that, you know, it's okay as long as it's not hurting anyone. Or some even try to deny the existence of hell. But God is just, and he is the one who justifies. The other error people make is they want to justify themselves. Adam and Eve in the garden pointed fingers. And in Luke 10:29, this justifying yourself comes out. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself." "You've answered correctly," Jesus replied. "Do this and you will live." But he wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, "And who's my neighbor?" He wanted to justify himself. We desperately want that. People say things like, "Who's my neighbor?" Or, "It's not my fault." Or, "I was put here on earth with these temptations. It's okay if I live that immoral life," right? God's love. He wants me to be happy. I'm in the right. We justify ourselves. And if we do that, we then would get the glory and not God. Today it's so popular to do that. Look at all he has come through, they say. Look at him now. Boy, she is really something, isn't it? Mm-hmm. To be born that way. And that she works so hard, huh? Love can overcome all, right? God is the one who is just. And God is the one who justifies. He's the same God. It's him. It's not us. And when we're justified by him, he gets the glory. We need to bring our sin and our desire even to continue to sin to the cross and allow God to justify us. Then by the power of the Holy Spirit, with the Holy Spirit, we live a new life attempting to uphold the law because we love God. People think you either have to clean yourself up before coming to the cross or they think the cross is unnecessary. But the cross is this place where justice of God meets our unrighteousness. And the cross is this place where, by faith, our unrighteousness is taken by Jesus. And at the cross, Jesus gives us his righteousness. And when you go to the cross by faith, you'll never be the same again. Romans 3:26. He did it to demonstrate his righteousness, that at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.